Jesus went up not openly, but as it were in secret. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, sometimes the best games for you to play when you're little are the simplest. And so I notice sometimes outside, perhaps in the evening during choir practice, or maybe sometimes after lunch on a nice day, I don't know, you'd still play the very easy, simple game of hide and go seek. Well, I think of this game today because our Lord is still hiding himself, but the Jews are seeking him. Some because they sincerely want to hear about our Lord and his teaching to save their souls, and others, the bad Jews, are just doing that so that they could put him to death. In fact, the whole of today's Mass is a kind of a holy version of a hide and go seek. Our Lord in the Gospel today is going up to Jerusalem for a feast day, which happens in September. And it was called the Feast Day of the Tabernacles, when the Jews made little huts made out of branches, and they would live in them for 7 days, in memory of how, when they left Egypt, they didn't have a place to live, and they had to just live in little shelters. In the catacombs of ancient Rome, they didn't used to have a crucifix, children, or any painting or picture of our Lord on the cross at all, because that's still how the Romans put people to death, and it would have been a little bit too scary to look at it, because sometimes if you're walking down the street or outside of the city, more likely, you could see someone being crucified, and it would be a very frightening and an awful picture indeed. So what they would do at the beginning would be to hide our Lord, but let him be known to those who knew their Bible history stories. And so, instead of a picture of our Lord on the cross, there'd be a picture of Daniel, who's in the lesson of today's Mass, and he would be seated on a stone, and he would have his arms out like this, that would be our Lord on the cross, because Daniel prophesies the coming of our Lord, and there'd be the lions seated around him, just as in today's story in the lesson of the Mass. And the lions represented the wicked men, the soldiers and the Jews, who put our Lord to death. And then they would know, the Christians would, well, that's our Lord on the cross in prophecy already. Just like in Japan, where they had to go for several centuries without having any priests or missionaries, sometimes what the people would do is that they would have, it looked like, so the pagans, it looked like an idol, but the Christians had made some changes in it, and it was really a statue of the Virgin Mary. And on the bottom of it, they would write a prayer, or they would write her name in Japanese script. And so that way, those who knew could find the hidden Blessed Mother statue, but the pagans thought that it was one of their idols, and then that made them happy. Daniel. He's an interesting character. He's a great prophet in the Old Testament. What did he do that made the pagans so angry at him in today's gospel, today's epistle, that for the second time they insisted he be fed to the lions? And the second time they were no more successful than the first. Well, first of all, what he did was to destroy the idol of Bel or Baal, which is the ancient way of saying God. They worshipped a big old sort of an ugly god, and that was their idol in Babylon. Well, they claimed, the king did, and so did the priests of Baal, that it must be a living idol because it ate a huge amount of food and drank a lot of wine every night. And Daniel laughed at the king. He and the king were friends, and he could do that. He laughed at the pagan king, and he said, "Your Highness, these priests are just pulling the wool over your eyes. I'll prove to you that that idol is just a piece of clay and metal, and he's no god at all." And so that night, as usual, the king had all of the food brought in for the idol to eat during the night. And then when the pagan priests had left, he sprinkled ashes on the floor, and then they locked the door of the temple as they always did. Well, as usual that night, not knowing that the ashes were on the floor, the pagan priests and their wives and children all came, and they ate up all the food, pretending that it was really the idol eating the food. but they left their footprints. It's almost like a Sherlock Holmes kind of a solution. They left their footprints in the ash. And when Daniel came with the king in the morning and they opened up the door, first of all, the king was happy because he saw the food was gone. And he said to Daniel, "See, I told you that our God eats the food during the night." And Daniel laughed again. And he said, "Oh, no, Your Highness, look at the floor." And he saw all of the footprints of men, women, and children. And that was the proof that they came in through a secret door, and they ate the food, and they pretended that their idol was. So they were all put to death for the trouble, and the idol was destroyed. There was one idol left whom they worshipped, only it wasn't an idol, it was a large, well, it was a dragon, sort of like a lizard, but a giant-sized lizard like in prehistoric times. And they worshipped this dragon. Maybe it was a devil, I don't know. But they would feed people to the dragon as well. So Daniel said, "If you don't mind, Your Highness, I'll destroy this idol too." And so he said, "Well, if you can, you're welcome to try." And so he made some balls of pitch and some other things, which when they were fed to the dragon, would have a chemical reaction to make the dragon explode. And he ate three of these balls of pitch, and sure enough, he exploded and bursted into flame. And that was the end of the false god of the Babylonians. Well, that was too much for the people to take, because people do like false gods once they get used to worshiping them. And they insisted that Daniel be thrown into the lion's den. And so he was. And he was there for 6 days and six nights, double what our Lord would spend in the tomb after his crucifixion. And usually they would throw two corpses and two sheep into the lion's den every day to feed the lions, or else they wouldn't have anything to eat usually. But now they didn't feed the lions for a whole week, almost a week, 6 days. And still, the lions never dared to touch our Lord. And when the king came, and he was really Daniel's good friend, and he felt bad about things, and he said, "Oh, Daniel, did the living God deliver you?" And he looked down at the pit, and sure enough, there's Daniel sitting in the midst of the lions. Our Lord has saved him. In the gospel, there's some hiding going on too. Our Lord is hiding himself from the world because he didn't want to go with his relatives. His relatives didn't really believe in him. They weren't worthy to be our Lord's cousins, I'm afraid. They didn't believe in him. And back then, when the people would go to church for a big holiday, a big holy day or feast day, they would have a sort of a caravan. It was a several-day trip, and there'd be a lot of laughing and drinking and talking and carrying on. And our Lord didn't think that people should go to church that way. They should be reverent and respectful. So he said, "No, I'm not going up with you." But he went up in a secret way. And then at the right time, our Lord started teaching the Jews again in the temple, but he had hidden himself. It's a good lesson to us that our Lord wants us to go, say, to Holy Week or Holy Days or special feast days, but that we should always go to church in the right kind of a spirit, not talky or disrespectful or too loud or anything like that, but that we should realize we're coming to worship Almighty God. And last of all, even though God often seems to be hidden from us and hidden from a lot of people today, because you know many people, children, don't have a church to go to anymore, and they don't have a mass or a sacraments as we do, and it seems that God has hidden himself far away from them, but our Lord always makes a way. He takes care of them one way or another. And so that's why we have in today's epistle story of Daniel, how in the middle of the story, there's a digression to talk about a minor prophet, and his name is Habakkuk. And when he wasn't prophesying for God or writing down his writings, he would help out the farmers and the workers in the field. And one day he was getting them some lunch, and the lunch was a nice big bowl of porridge, like at a fairy tale, and some bread on top. It would be very nourishing. And he was just putting the finishing touches on this big bowl of porridge and bread when an angel says, he appears to him, and he says, "Take that lunch and bring it to Daniel in Babylon." And Habakkuk, although he's a prophet and wants to do God's will, is feeling very bad because he says, in effect, he doesn't know where Daniel is. He never heard of Daniel, and he wouldn't know the address, and Babylon's a big city, and he starts to talk about all of those things, and the angel doesn't want to waste time. So he just picks up Habakkuk by one hair of his head, and in an instant, He's standing right over the lion's den with his nice bowl of porridge. And he says, Daniel, servant of the living God, come and eat the lunch that God has sent you. And so somehow they get the porridge down to him and eats his lunch, and he feels much better because he's had a little food. Our Lord, children, can and does work miracles, but usually it's the miracle of our cooperation with him. That's a hidden way of showing the presence of God even in daily life. So if one of you forgot lunch today, I'm sure that everybody would cooperate, and you could give the student who forgot his lunch a very nice lunch indeed. And that little bit of sharing, that could be a little bit like a miracle too. It's those little good deeds that remind us God never hides himself, not truly, not from those who are looking for him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.